My friends, welcome. I hope you had a fantastic holiday weekend full of abundance and gratitude for the many things we do still enjoy. Among them, though, certainly not good leadership as they roll out their latest injection of fear and propaganda with the Omicron nonsense. I hope you didn't let that get you down. It's nothing more than more fear to propel forward their agenda and the continued flogging of an already struggling supply chain. So too is the case with China's imposition of up to 7 weeks of quarantine for vessels and their containers, which remain in short supply. That just adds even more fuel to the raging dumpster fire that is our faltering supply chain. Indeed, that's what's caused the Port of Vancouver's CEO to announce the crisis is here, as most of their rail service stays offline after the flooding in British Columbia. The powers that shouldn't be, as we know, never let a crisis go to waste. So the question that this begs is, what is the solution that they're going to impose in the dialectic here? If this is a supply chain crisis, where are they going with this? The answer, at least partially, is here. From a piece by McKinsey, the digital twin for the supply chain, which will allow us to construct a perfect virtual digital model of every good and asset on the planet and track its position and who's consuming it and who's supplying it. Does that extend into food, though? Is an interesting question. And today I'd like to introduce to you the Cities 2030 project, which is funded by the EU and proposes to do exactly that. A digital, blockchain-based, data-driven urban food systems management platform with secure intelligence and coordination with an almost real-time digital twin of the entire supply chain from farm to fork to waste management all the way through. Anything you eat needs to be on their blockchain. It's a big conversation, I know. Let's see if we can have it. I'm Christian, and this is the Ice Age Farmer broadcast. And indeed, China's imposition of the 7-week quarantine on vessels and their containers is really, at this point, nothing more than an act of war against the entire world supply chain. You can tell this when you look at the data about how bad things already are. Here from a piece from ValiantCEO.com, crunch at the ports may mean crisis for family farms. And I'll just point out, this is from November 14th, which means it predates both the closure of the Port of Vancouver, and this new rule for your safety, 7 weeks, from China. So let's take a look. A dairy 60 miles from the Port of Los Angeles is having little luck getting its products onto a ship headed for the foreign markets that are crucial to its business. The farm is part of one of the nation's largest co-ops, California Dairies, Inc., manufacturing milk powder for factories in Southeast Asia and Mexico, which then use it to make candy, baby formula, and other foods. The company typically ships 50 million pounds of milk powder and butter out of the ports each month, but roughly 60% of the company's bookings on outbound vessels have been canceled or deferred in recent months, resulting in massive losses. This is not just a problem, it's not just an inconvenience, it's catastrophic, according to the CEO of the California Dairies Company. Now, obviously, the CEO of the company incurring losses is going to say that. What I want to point out is that it is also catastrophic for the farmers who depend on that income here in the United States, and equally so for the countries that depend on those imports to eat, right? This is the food supply of the world decaying rapidly before our eyes. Let's continue reading. You'll see this is the case. The same congestion at U.S. ports and the shortage of truck drivers that has brought the flow of some goods to a halt has also left farmers struggling to get their cargo abroad and fulfill contracts before the food goes bad. Ships now take weeks rather than days to unload at the ports, and backed up shippers are so desperate to return to Asia to pick up more goods that they often simply leave the United States with empty containers rather than wait for American farmers to fill them up. Quote, exports are a huge issue for the U.S. right now. Getting exports out of the country is actually harder than getting imports into the country, which is also a problem, as is visibly apparent based on the empty shelves at many places, right? When you walk out and experience that. You and I can experience that firsthand when we see the empty shelves, but what's less visible to us is that American farmers are unable to get their food out the door, and that the rest of the world is left wanting. In fact, here, a survey from the Agricultural Transportation Coalition representing exporters found that 22% of foreign ag sales were being lost as a result of transportation challenges. That means nearly a quarter of the U.S. ag exports are just off the table. They're gone. This is stunning. Now, what are you going to do? This is obviously a crisis, right? We heard the Port of Vancouver's CEO announce that. So what do? Well, enter McKinsey with their new article about the future of big data and AI in logistics, where they announce that, given all of these threats to our supply chain and all these problems we're having, what we're going to have to do is introduce the metaverse of digital goods. We need a digital twin, a dynamic software model of a physical thing or system that relies on sensor data to understand its state, respond to changes, improve operations, and add value. That's the business consultant definition. I would just say it's a virtual model of a real physical thing, whether that's you and the internet of bodies, or goods and services moving through a digital supply chain, or the lettuce, which was tagged with GPS locations and flows all the way through your stomach and then into the wastewater. It is a virtual reality that mirrors physical reality, thus affording visibility into our realm to the beast system. Continuing from McKinsey, with the advent of the Internet of Things, big data, and predictive analytics, the power of digital twins has become immense. By the way, it doesn't just give visibility to the physical world to an AI, it also gives the AI control back, right? That's what happens once you gain awareness, perfect awareness of these digital twins. Then you can extend your influence back out of the system, back out of the AI, into our realm. From McKinsey, in the context of supply chains, a digital twin is a virtual replica comprising potentially thousands of assets and warehouses and everything. It offers a clear view of the risks facing the interconnected supply chains so that we can be more agile. We identify risk earlier, blah, blah, blah. Now, I've covered this a bit when we mentioned that the Pentagon, at their Joint Artificial Intelligence Center, had launched such a project entitled Project Salus. Quote, a data aggregation platform that uses predictive modeling to narrow down supply chain demands and shortages in specific locations so that frontline workers can get the needed equipment. I've covered this in the context of when they started extending this system in the early days. This is April of 2020. They started jacking in all retail transactions from large corporate groceries. So everything you buy at the grocery store is being fed into Project Salus there at the DoD. And you can read a quote down here from one of their lieutenant commander who says, quote, I confirm Project Salus is a prototype that enables the GA8AC2 concept, which is a massive effort to digitally interlink all weapons, vehicles, and personnel. Your grocery transactions and now the supply chain data is being fed into the Pentagon's AI weapons system. If you are wanting to learn more about that, I covered it extensively in this report, Architecting the Beast System, AI Control of Food Supply. And we also looked at the way that they wanted to tag every piece of a fish, every coffee bean, and then track it across the supply chain. So that's really the first part now of what I want to talk about, which is the realization of that through the Cities 2030 project. This is their website, cities2030.eu, and it states, as I mentioned at the outset, that the Cities 2030 is a project, a digital platform, which is destined to foster the creation of urban food systems. Never mind the farms. This is now food that's being produced within the confines of the smart cities. It is a blockchain-based, data-driven urban food systems management platform. Secure intelligence, coordinating actions by delivering an accurate, almost real-time digital twin of the whole supply chain. A metaverse of food, from production to waste management. It's also called a future-proof food system. And I want to read from this project description. Cities now, not farms, forget that. That's the past. We're shutting those down. That's why they can't export their food anymore. That's the stuff of yesteryear. Now we have smart cities that feed you. Cities can build sustainable food systems to prevent and reduce food waste, provide decent livelihood opportunities, and promote sustainable ways of food production. Cities can ensure food and nutrition security for all. The EU-funded Cities 2030 project will bring together lots of people to create a structure focused on the transformation of the way systems produce a transformation. Remember the Great Food Transformation, as announced by Eat Lancet. This is all one integrated agenda. In fact, you can see on their website, they talk about the UN... trust me. They talk about the UN SDGs, Sustainable Development Goals, and how this is going to meet them. Transformation of the food supply. A transformation of the way systems produce, transport, supply, recycle, and reuse food. A digital twin of the entire system will be created using a blockchain-based, data-driven urban food systems management platform. The project goal is to create a future-proof via connected structure focused on the citizen, built on trust, like the World Economic Forum is talking about. We need more trust in our systems, with partners encompassing the entire food system. Partners such as the Food Future Institute, who also helped with the UN Food Systems Summit just recently. Partners like BioZoon, who, as you can tell, has nothing to do with natural organic farming, but everything to do with artificial food. After all, that's the only kind of food you're going to be able to produce in cities. And partners like AgFutura, who's all about precision agriculture and data-driven plant growth. In fact, there's a tremendous amount of overlap with the Rockefeller Reset the Table document, which you can see there's that word, transforming the food system again. A lot of the data that they want to collect is exactly the kind of data that was outlined in the FDA's new proposed rule, which dictates that anyone that grows leafy greens or any kind of vegetable has to keep, let's find it here, has to keep track of extensive record-keeping stuff, including spreadsheets containing the GPS coordinates of where the food is grown, the location, date, and time that the food is harvested, cooled, packed, shipped, or used as an ingredient. Basically, exactly this perfect traceability across the entire food supply chain. Now, why is the FDA wanting to collect so much data? This isn't just happening in a vacuum for your safety. No, this is to shut down small producers and you and your backyard garden, so that if you don't collect this data, that's now black market food. That's now the dirty, gross stuff grown in the dirt. We don't eat that anymore. Not now, not in the current year. We now have urban food systems with hydroponically grown synthetic foods and, you know, stuff that's tracked using robots. Only a high-tech player can afford to compete with these kinds of rules. But now, as we see the EU Cities 2030, we see that they're creating high-tech urban food systems. It does away with agriculture. That's why farmers can't export their crops anymore. That's why the UK is forcing anyone that has chickens to move them inside because of bird flu, because animals are dirty and dangerous, and we can't afford the risk of keeping animals anymore. No, hell no. Put those birds inside. Make sure to get rid of your cows because they might have brucellosis or mad cow disease. Make sure to kill your pigs because they might have African swine fever. Folks, tens of millions of birds have been killed in the last 6 weeks because of these outbreaks of bird flu. Even as the media keeps pumping out these ridiculous headlines about bird flus that are going to wipe out half of humanity, animals are dirty and dangerous, is why we have to end animal agriculture. So I really wanted to highlight that this is the vision they are pursuing, is cities that feed themselves and that actually export food to the countryside, because traditional farming and ranching is done. That's over with. In fact, we've already heard the CEO of Impossible Foods say it's game over for the meat industry, and they don't even realize it yet. That's a quote from the Bill Gates-funded CEO of Impossible Foods, even as his stock price declines because nobody wants that trash. All of this, longtime viewers of this channel will remember, was foreseen nearly 100 years ago by Lord Birkenhead, a UK statesman who wrote an editorial in Cosmo magazine, actually, in 1929, that looked ahead with a prophetic look into the future. In 2029, he announced, he actually shared a number of predictions, like the internet and genetically modified people and a few other things, all of which have come to pass. But then he went on to say that agriculture will be abolished except as a hobby and all foodstuffs will be produced synthetically. And I want to read from some of this article that he wrote. Birkenhead also wrote in the right column, "Since the beginnings of history, the city has been the parasite of the countryside. In 2029, science will make the city a self-supporting unit, and Britain a land of laboratories capable of feeding no matter how many millions of mouths without importing a ton of foodstuffs. Many will bewail such a prospect, for they insist that a flourishing agricultural peasantry is the only sound basis of any political life. It will be necessary, when agriculture goes into decay, to plan the evolution of a stable industrial society. Or just to destroy it and have the Great Reset." And that's what we're experiencing now, is the complete devastation of all human tradition, of traditional farming and ranching. And so the EU 2030 project is the realization of a long-standing view of these technocrats, running back to Lord Birkenhead 100 years ago, that we do away with farming and ranching, and in general with self-sufficient humanity. Never mind that. All we want is slaves, and they will eat by virtue of our smart cities. That is the reality that is being constructed right now through the Great Reset, along with a whole bunch of other biotech, nanotech. You know, there's more to this, but I wanted to focus right now on what's happening with the destruction, the deliberate destruction of our food systems. Because people keep asking me, why are they doing away with this? What's going to take its place? How are they going to feed themselves, even if not other people? Well, this is it. It's the fake food, and it all comes out of the smart cities, not from the heathens that are dirty and dangerous and pandemic-ridden and dirt. You know, that's disgusting. That's gone now. Now, what does that mean? It means the solution, the actionable intelligence here, is to get your hands dirty, right? Is to keep growing food in the soil, is to keep raising animals in the sun, is to build a community of people that are doing the same thing, that are getting away from these cities, from these technocrats who seek to enslave you, and indeed to invert all of God's creation and defile it. Get away from those things. Deprive the beast of your data. Put away your cell phone. Don't use the credit cards. You know the drill. And get close to God. Folks, I hope that's been helpful today. I know that's a mouthful. So thank you for having this conversation. You can find this report on iceagefarmer.com. If you value this broadcast and this information, help me keep it running. There's a few ways you can do that listed at iceagefarmer.com/support. And I very genuinely appreciate your help. For now, keep your hands dirty. Keep growing the gardens. Keep raising the animals. And spread the word. It's going to take as many of us as possible working against these folks to succeed. So let's do it. Be well.